All right, so day two, how we feeling?
If you I know, always
all right, the next person says word turn owes me $5. All right. Next person says the word owes me $5. Don't worry about it. $5 from you. $5. It doesn't matter. $5. How you guys feeling?
Good.
As the third year in a row, I'm super excited to be here with you guys. Because much like Greg was saying, you've brought out a lot in myself, and you know, there's a lot going on. But you know, I feel like I'm right where I need to be here with you guys, and sharing with Brian and Greg on the way up. I panicked when we got maybe about an hour away from here. So, you know what? I don't know if I'm supposed to go first or what. I forgot the order. Like, so we called Will and he said, we're on the way up. We're not far. You know, you're in tonight. I'm last. You're in the middle. I said, I'm in the middle of, man, what, 70 years of service in the ministry, somewhere close to that. And it was like my heart started racing like really fast. Like, oh my God, what am I gonna do? I'm right in the middle. And you know, there are two men that I love and respect greatly, you know, the immense knowledge, you know. And I was joking with Buren, I said, where are your notes? You know, you getting prepared? And he said, I'm already prepared. And I just kind of had to laugh to myself. I was like, man, the man's probably forgotten more about the ministry than I've ever learned. So, you know, but needless to say, I've prepared and I had a lot of thoughts about, you know, well, I mean, just a little fun. I even timed Buren last night, you know, when he was up to see how long he took to see. I was like, all right, am I going to be long enough? Is it too short? Do I need to try to add something? What do I need to do? I timed him. By the way, you're right at about 36 minutes last night, which was thought was good time. So I mean, we'll see where we are, but it's just good to be here. And just, I don't know if I've done it before, but I want to thank you, Will, for the opportunity to do this over the last 3 years. And I don't know what you saw in me sitting at that conference room table, but I'm glad you did, and definitely learning a lot. Not only from you two, but from you guys as well. And as I was sort of preparing for this message last night, Pastor Buren spoke about the spirit, and tonight I'll be talking about the soul. And as I was preparing, it's funny because there are things that I know, and there are things that I thought I knew, and things that I'm learning new discoveries along the way. And this lesson was one of those where I made some connections for myself and questions that I had when I was small, you know, like you guys. I had questions, and it's a beautiful thing to start to make those connections in myself as I'm preparing, you know, messages for you guys. And one of the things that was always just a weird word to me growing up was soul. And I mean, you hear it everywhere. Growing up in a black family, I mean, soul was a lot of different things, you know. When you're up at children's choir and the one kid is clapping like this, and then you got the other kid on the end doing all like this, you know, you said, that kid's got soul, you know, he's doing a little extra, putting a little something on it. My grandmother used to tell me growing up that I had an old soul. She got an old soul, Brian, an old soul. And what she meant by that was basically I was a little mature beyond my years, and the things that I connected with were way mature beyond my years. I was telling Greg, I was sharing with him, my favorite artist was Marvin Gaye, way before my time. But, you know, I connect with his music. So my grandmother told me I was an old soul because I fed myself with things that were older. You know, I ingested those things, which is a word I want you to hang on to. Feeding and ingesting. Likewise, my grandmother, they told her she had a young soul because she didn't act her age. She acted much younger than what she was, because she fed herself with a lot of young things. You know, she didn't think she was, you know, 84 years old. She thought she was much, much, much younger. So she fed her soul with young things. So it was just a really, really interesting concept for me growing up. And even when you look at the Bible, you know, and Christians, like what are we here for? What is our purpose? And we learn that we receive our full salvation in the end when our souls return to Christ, return to heaven on the day of judgment. And that is God's aim, to have our souls be one. I actually even have a friend of mine who does some sort of Christian rap, and his name is Soul Winner. Like, that's his name. And it just, all of it started to come together with me, that we're here to win souls. And, you know, but to win souls, I think you have to understand what a soul is. And just reading through some things and preparing for this, Pastor Bearden talked about the Holy Spirit and God breathing into the nostrils. Well, in my notes, it came up again. I think it's Genesis 2 and 7. Bible declares that God breathed nostrils into the nostrils of man, and he became a living soul. And since God breathes into each person, we all have different souls. Like, everybody in here has a soul, but if I ask you to define the soul, like, what is it? A lot of people would struggle. I know sometimes I've struggled with describing it and figuring out, you know, what it is, but really and truly, your soul consists of your mind, your heart, your will, and your emotions. It's those things that make you up. But one thing we know for sure, that it's not a physical thing. We have a physical body, which is made up of material things, but your soul is, and your spirit, those are the immaterial aspects that they can exist well beyond the physical lifespan of your body. And so if you look at it, the soul and the spirit are primary entities, and the body is the vessel. So you'll learn more about the body tomorrow evening, speaking with Will, but the body is the vessel. So in learning more about it, I want to know, okay, what did Jesus say about the soul? You know, Jesus was an incarnate deity. He was Christ. It was God among men, and even Emmanuel means God with us. What did he say to the disciples about soul? And in Matthew 10 and 8, he says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell." And when you look at soul in this context, it implies to me the capacity to live, in that another man, another human can take away your physical. They may be able to destroy your body, but they can't destroy your soul, which is your capacity to live. And, you know, because if they destroy your body, we still have the capacity to live again through Christ, through the resurrection, through our souls entering into eternity. So naturally, we fear people. You know, a lot going on in the news. We fear guns. We fear what the other person can do to us. We fear those things, but we shouldn't put power into those things, because as long as our souls are right with God, there's only they can destroy this. They can destroy this physical, but they cannot destroy your soul. So, you know, don't fear the physical death, because with Jesus is the only one that can give us that true eternal life. And we shouldn't fear man, but fear God. And you talk about fear God. Ever since I'm your age and I've heard fearing God, I've never perceived it as being something negative. I don't know why. I just never perceived it as that. It was always something I thought was positive. When you talk about fearing God, it's respect or reverence. And to me, it's positive and not negative, because that fear of God is what keeps us from destroying ourselves. So if there's something that keeps me from destroying myself, something that keeps me in a positive, a good walk with God, then it can only be positive. So I don't look at fearing God in that way. Another thing I took from Matthew 10 and 8 was the soul is the immortal part of our being. These bodies, they're mortal. Mortal Kombat, mortal all this. Something happens to you. It's mortal. It's funny, you laughed about Mortal Kombat. I remember growing up your age and playing video games, and people were like, why are you letting kids play these games where they're killing and doing all this stuff? I was able to separate that it wasn't real, but there were a lot of kids that didn't, and they felt like they could really go and snatch your head and pull your soul out and do all this crazy stuff. And back in the, late 80s, early 90s, early mid-90s, you had kids trying to do crazy stuff and injuring and killing themselves because, you know, it's just weird. But, you know, but the soul is the immortal part of your being. It has the capacity to live on long after this body is gone. And the last thing I took away from this was that the soul is the key to your eternal life, and only God can destroy it. So one key thing to learn there is that it exists separate and independent from the body, and it continues at the time of death. So that's something that Jesus reveals to us, that it dwells within this body, within this physical shell. And what we also learned in Matthew 10 and 10:28 was sort of a wake-up call for me reading it, was that it's something that can be destroyed, which is kind of weird if you look at it being immortal, but also something that can be destroyed. And the only way I could think, like, as I'm studying these things, I'm rushing in, you guys are fans of Twilight, right? Some people are shaking their heads, Twilight. But, you know, you see these people in there, they live for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But if they went out in the sun when they were supposed to, they got burned and died and dealt with. So they were immortal, but there were things that they still had to contend with in terms of them being destroyed. And it's the same way, you know, our souls, it's the immortal part of our being, but God gave us that soul and he can take it away from you. He can destroy it. And it didn't really say much about what that destruction was in my research, but I don't know about you guys. I'm not willing to test and see what it means. So I'd rather personally steer clear of that. So, you know, your soul is something that can be destroyed, but only God can do that. So why put your power into worldly things? Why put your power into what's down here when he ultimately controls our fate? Another thing I wanted to look at when you talk about your soul, you know, we sort of started to identify what it is. Well, what is it worth? Like, is there a value? Can you put on it? You know, you always hear, I think it's Luke 9:25, what profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his soul? And we hear it, and to me, I think it's kind of an open-ended statement. It's almost something that people try to look at, and so you read that, you have to answer it for yourself. But when you break it down, you could give me everything in the world right now. I could win the lottery, $1 billion. I would have the entire world. But in gaining those physical riches, if I had to do something that caused me to forfeit my soul and to break with my walk with God, what have I gained? Because I still have that money. But in terms of our physical bodies, I don't want to put a number on it because I think it's different for everybody else. But you come out of the womb, son now, month old, he's growing, getting big, getting fat, getting better, getting stronger, getting all these different things. And there's going to come a point when he's going to hit that peak where it's going to start, your legs going to start hurting, your knees, your ankles, your eyes are going to start to get bad. That body's going to start breaking down on you. You know, my grandmother, I talk about her a lot. Sometimes whenever we tease her about something that was old, like, Grandma, why you got those big glasses on? She'd look at us and say, keep living. Keep living. Grandma, why you walk with that limp? Keep living. Basically telling us, look, you're gonna break down too. Something on you is going to start to break down. So if I gain all these riches yet forfeit my soul, what happens when this earthly physical body finally breaks down and it's done? It's gone. And my the end of my line, what I gain at the end of that is eternal damnation. I got all this money I'm gonna leave back here on earth to Chad, who's gonna blow it on dinosaur stuff. But at the end of the rope, I don't get into heaven. I have all this stuff, but I do not get into heaven. What have I won? How do you weigh that? You know, if our end game is eternal life, if you forfeit that for all the riches in the world, you haven't won a thing. And even more interesting, I was trying to define, how could I break it down to what, and explain what the soul is. And it's funny how it happened. I was studying, I have a New King James Version Leadership Bible. But a lot of times I'll look up things on my iPad, and when I put them in, I don't think about what translation of the Bible is going to come up. I just put it in and see what comes up. And I didn't realize it, but I was actually reading on my iPad the King James Version, and on my Bible, I was in a New King James Version. So as I was flipping back and forth between the two scriptures, on my iPad, the King James Version said, "What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" But yet when I read my Leadership Bible and New King James Version, it said, "What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself is destroyed or lost?" So one translation said, "Lose your soul." And one translation said, "Lose yourself." So what is your soul? It's you. It's you. It's your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, your will, your desires. It's all of those things. It's you. It's Hannah. It's Greg. You know, it's all of us. And, you know, it's the part of us that we perceive. It's the part of us that feels, that hopes, that prays, and probably most importantly, it's the part of us that can be saved. You can't save this body. It's not going to heaven with you. The soul is the part of us that can be saved. And I have my notes here, like it's the principal God in us. It's the principal God in us, and it's our true nature, you know. Rebecca, you kind of got upset last night about the pranks, but you reeled it back in. But at that moment, you were like, "Hey, somebody touched myself." That was you. That was you feeling and acting in that particular moment. And I don't care what happens, your body couldn't have done that without you being inside of that vessel. And that's what it is. What it was. And it is the possession of the soul that makes the body, you know. My I was just joking with my aunt one time. We drove by my grandmother's gravesite, and I said, "You haven't been out there to see grandma in about 2 or 3 months." And she looked at me and said, "She ain't there." And all I could do was just laugh in the car, because she was right. That was her body, but her soul had long departed. She wasn't there anymore. And I just kind of had to giggle to myself. The soul is that individual possession that distinguishes you from another person. You know, you guys are all different from each other, and your soul is what separates you from those things. It makes you who you are. It's your personality, it's your ego, it's yourself. And it's basically, like I said, the automation of your body. And I told you guys, we were talking the other night about just seeing things and making different connections between things. How many of you guys have ever seen the movie Brave? A couple people have seen Brave. Wow, way more people than I thought had seen Brave. So I don't feel bad telling this story. For those of you who haven't seen it, spoiler alert, but Chad, this was I was still learning how to become a dad, so I didn't really know what to do. So I'm like, "Man, he likes action, so let's get him these action movies." So we were getting all this Transformers and, you know, the Marvel comics and all that stuff, and he couldn't say Wolverine, but somehow he called it Pulverizer, you know. "I'm gonna watch Pulverizer," and but I knew what he was talking about, and I put Wolverine in. So he's watching all these really, like, hardcore action movies. And one day somebody gave him a copy of Brave, And I'm looking at it, and this little redhead girl's on the DVD with a bow and arrow, and I'm like, he's going to hate this one. He's going to hate it. And one day, we were just watching TV, and I watched Transformers as many times as I could watch it. I'd watch Captain America as many times as I could watch it. I'd watch Hulk as many times as I could watch it. So we're going to watch something different. Put in Brave. So we ended up watching it. And it actually was a really good movie. And before I knew it, I was into the movie. And just to kind of, you know, paraphrase it a little bit, the daughter didn't like what her mom was trying to make her do. So she wanted to change her mom. So she went to this little witch and got a little spell that she could eat. And so the mom ate it. And it was supposed to change her the way the mom was thinking. But it changed her into a bear. And so the dad is the king. All he did was hunted bears. So they're trying to kill the mom, not knowing that it was the bear. They're trying to kill the bear, not knowing it was the mom. But the funny thing about guys and girls that have seen the movie, how funny was it to see this bear acting like a queen? Yeah, how funny was it?
Trying to cut the blueberries?
Yeah, how funny was it to see this bear in the middle of the woods, now stuff all around, just acting like the queen, because her body had changed, but that was still her within that. I mean, everything was in it. Everything in there was her. Now, as the days went on and the spell or whatever started to change and all that, you know, of course, there were times where she would flip back and forth between the bear and the queen, her mom, bear and the queen, her mom, back and forth, but a part of her was inside. So no matter what that physical shell was, it was still her mom. And as I was reading, the funny thing, the end of the movie when Mordu, the bad bear, was destroyed, everybody thought they were just killing a bad bear. But when that bear was destroyed, you see that the other king spirit come up out of it, and you see him clear as day as a being, as a man, come up, and he just nod, thank you for freeing my soul, and then he disappeared into the sky. And I'm like, oh my God, that's a crazy Disney movie. But I mean, if you think about it, she was in a different body, but it was her. You guys are in these shells, but you are you. You are you. Now, don't tell anybody I watched that movie 4 or 5 times in a row. No. He only cares about the bear. He cares about the bad bear and the bear fight at the end. So he goes out in the yard with sticks and he hunts for bears and he walks around and he's like, that bear killed my daddy. And I'm like, no, I'm right here. But he just, yeah. So he only cares about that part. He hasn't made that connection just yet. So yeah, I mean, you see these things all over the place. Now, what I like when things that I talked to you guys about start to come full circle and they start to compound onto each other. So one of my favorite talks, my favorite conversations I had with you guys was when I first started here, and it was a small group and only a couple of you were still here, was Ground Zero. Loved it. We had the remote control cars, driving them around, and we pointed out, hey, this car can't move without us controlling it. So the battle for our minds, that's Ground Zero. Whatever controls your minds, controls your thoughts, controls you. And how we say, you know, that car is not going to do anything unless we push it and go and make it control. We started talking about those things. But I kind of, talking tonight, I kind of want to add another level onto that. And that is within our souls, we have our will. And to me, our will is, I mean, very, very, very important. Because if I put that car on the ground, do you think it's going to go anywhere on its own? No, not until we pick it up and make it go and do something. We as humans, we have our will. We have our will. You know, funny thing, and I was laying on the bed thinking about tonight, I didn't realize it, but the week honeymoon, we got married, we're sitting there on a beach in Mexico, and my new bride looks at me and says, I'm ready to grow the family. I was like, all right, we just got married, but if that's what you want to do, cool. She felt like whatever in her soul was speaking to her and saying that it's time to do this. I said, okay, whatever's in my soul is going to agree with you. Let's make it happen. So exactly a year later, because we were honeymooning the first week of June, Roman was born June 8th, we have Roman here. I was on the boat today talking to the guy, the guest that we had, Mike. I think his name was Mike. He's talking about trout fishing, which made me start thinking about salmon fishing and how salmon, every year, they swim up the same creek, same streams, return to the same place, spawn, and die, all for the sake of keeping the legacy going, right? That's what they do. Bears eat them. That's what they do. And I was thinking, what would that conversation have gone like on the beach in Mexico if Sheena came to me and said, hey, I want to have kids. All right, well, what do I have to do? Well, we got to swim upstream, and it's going to be a long, long swim. Bears are going to be trying to kill us. Fishermen are going to be trying to catch us. We might not make it. But if we do make it all the way up there, we're going to spawn, lay the eggs. I'm going to die. You're going to die. I would probably say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Let me think about that, because I'm not ready to go yet. Because the salmon, they're driven by something internally that says, we have to do this, we have to do this, we have to do this. We're not. A lot of my friends don't have kids. They made a decision to not have kids. That's their decision. Another crazy thing I watched, some of you probably seen it, is that March of the Penguins. Yeah, crazy, right? You know, they have to trek across the tundra and lay the egg, and then the wife has the female has to like shuffle it over to the male, and he has to catch it, and sit on it, and then she goes out to sea trying to catch food, and a lot of times they get killed and they don't come back, and then the baby doesn't hatch, and all this crazy stuff goes on. But it's a struggle for them to produce baby chicks, right? It's a big thing, you know. Some of the babies don't hatch, and then the fathers fight over whose baby it is, and it's crazy. Again, sitting on the beach, if Sheena told me that's what we had to do, I don't think I would have signed up for that. Because at some point, something in me decided that, yeah, that's not what I want to do. But instead, what ended up happening, we weighed our options, said we can do this, we're ready for this, let's do it, let's proceed. We can afford a kid, let's do it. We made that decision, you know, and at some point I realized that what you set your soul on, what you set your mind on, what you set your thoughts and emotions on, that's what you tend to be like. That's what you tend to the decisions you make. When Will asked what do you think about coming here, I had a decision to make. I was in the world, but not of the world. I wasn't really going to church anywhere. I was going around visiting places, but I didn't have a church home. So at that moment, I had to decide that, you know what, I'm going to follow this walk. I prayed and said, God, give me something, and this is what he gave me. I'm going to follow this walk. I'm going to follow this path and turn my back on everything else that was over here, you know, things that I thought should be going on. I'm going to follow what God wants me to do. And, you know, when you ever since last night, and we brought up, I've been thinking about a friend that we saw in the gas station. And when you talk about your will and making choices to feed your soul with things that ultimately lead to your eternal salvation, it is a choice. Like you do have a decision to make. He had the same decisions and same choices I did. I know he had a basketball scholarship that would have gotten him out of, you know, his living situation. You know, I know he had opportunities because I was there. I saw those things. The difference is I made a decision to have a different life for myself. I made a decision to start to align myself with Christ and my walk, and that has made the difference. That has led to sort of what Buren was talking about last night in the inequality. It wasn't that my soul or my body or anything was that much better than his, it was when faced with those decisions, I chose to follow God. I chose to make decisions. I chose to work harder. I chose to attack those things that were difficult, but ultimately would make me better. Because coming here, it was out of my element, but I knew that on the other side of this, I was going to be a better person for it. I was going to be a better person for this walk that I was beginning with God. But again, that's what separates us from other beings. We have that choice. We have that free will. We have that decision-making capability to say, I'm going to choose God. I'm going to choose this path. I'm going to choose this walk. And when you do that, when you feed your mind with negativity, when you talk about the brain being that educator of your soul, the brain is that educator of the soul. So you have to be careful what you pull into your brain, what you pull into your being, because ultimately that is what's educating your soul, which is what's controlling your being. So, you know, the things that we do, having you here, praying, meditating, studying the Word of God, it's educating your soul to make those proper decisions when they come. I mean, I'd like to stand here before you and say, you know, I prayed for Eagles Way Church. I didn't. You know, I'd like to sit here and say, I prayed for Sheena. I prayed for a good wife and a family. I didn't. But what I did have and what I always had, even when I wasn't in church, was I had discernment. I knew when a situation was good. I knew when God was speaking to me and I felt comfortable enough to follow that path. Even when I hadn't been in church 2 years and a man comes up to me and says, I think you'd be great for my youth group. I knew. I had those feelings. I knew that's what I needed to do to start feeding my mind, to start feeding my emotions, to start feeding my soul. And when you talk about what the soul is comprised of, man, those are some important things. Your emotions, your feelings, your mind, those are some important things. I mean, think about it. We talked about, you know, and even Ralph, you know, change the way you look at things and the things you look at will change. I just had a conversation with my mom about buying a car. And she said, well, what if my debt to income is too high? And what if they say no? I said, well, Mom, that just means it's not the right time. But she was looking at it as rejection, because that part of her soul, those feelings, she hadn't taken control of that enough to where it was aligned with God. I know if I don't get something, it's not meant for me to have right now. When the school system told me that I was too qualified for that position, I'm not gonna lie to you guys, I sat in the car with Sheena in Walmart parking lot and I was so mad. I had tears rolling down my face. I was mad that I didn't get that job that I knew I was qualified for, that I knew I could do. I was mad about it. But a month later, I get the opportunity to be here with you guys. And I'm in a place now where my soul is being fed by men like Will, men like Buren. And it's to the point where when I get that phone call that your son is scheduled to be born on the same day that your nephew passed away was born, I didn't let those things affect me, because my soul, my mind, my spirit, my emotions, I have a greater control on those things. I had a decision to make at that point. I could have lost it and freaked out and said, oh my God, the baby's gonna be born with two heads. Oh my God, I'm scared. But no, I had a great grasp on all of those things. Now, I don't have it all figured out. Pastor Will tell you, he'll get a text message from time to time. Look, man, we need to talk about something. I don't have it all figured out, but I'm really working to control those parts of me that make up the soul, because ultimately that's going to to me, that is my end all be all. That is Brian. That's what makes me who I am. And without a full grasp on those things, I mean, who knows what it is, you know, that can happen? Who knows what situation that's really nothing? I'd blow out of proportion and change and set into motion a group, a series of events that change my life. Who knows? So, you know, it started off as just a soul, but as I dove deeper into this, I mean, man, it's powerful. It's powerful. And, you know, everybody has one, and I can't think of a greater gift to us, you know, from God than our souls. I mean, think about it. It makes you who you are. It makes John, you know, as quirky as you might be sometimes, tucking your shirt in and pulling your socks up. Nobody said anything because that's you. That's you. Madison, I mean, that's you. And, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I love me, and I love me enough to want me to be saved. I love me enough to want me to be in the right place whenever this body decides to give out. I love me enough to want to continue. I love my family enough to make sure my soul, make sure my emotions, to make sure my mind, to make sure my will is in the right place to make the right decisions for them as well. You know, I love them enough to do those things. And I love them enough to understand that, I mean, your existence, your soul is to be saved. But even taking it a step further, you are to lead other souls to Christ. There are men like Pastor Buren, Pastor Will. I mean, that's what they do. That's what they exist to do, lead other souls to Christ. And some of you will take that walk as well. But just understand that it happens other ways as well. It happens casually. It happens when you're in and out in the nursing, in and out of the emergency room in one of the hardest times of your life. And no matter what you're going through, people see that glow in you. They see your soul. They see what a beautiful soul that you are. So even at the hardest time of your life, they come up to you and tell you how big of a light that you've been in their lives. That is what it is. And that's what we're here to, you know, encourage you guys to be beautiful souls. And, I just want to just bow your heads and just a word of prayer for me. Father God, I want to thank you for this time. Thank you for bringing us all together. Thank you, Lord, for each and every breath, each and every opportunity that we have to get closer and closer to you, Lord. I want to thank you for just a sense of understanding why we are here, our purpose, what we're sent here to do, Lord, and who we're sent here to be, Lord. I pray that you just empower each and every one of us, Lord, strengthen our minds, Lord, take control of our emotions and feelings. Take control of our actions. Just have all of those things, Lord, just conspire together to work for the greater good, Lord. Help us understand that our existence here on earth, Lord, we're not just here to be people, Lord. We have a soul that's pure, a soul that is important, and a soul that is meant to be saved, Lord. But also, we have the capacity, Lord, to lead other souls to you. Pray, Lord, just give us the strength to face whatever challenges we have, Lord. I don't know
what those are, Lord. I don't know what each and every person may be dealing with in this room, but Lord, I just give them the strength to overcome it, Lord, and understand that these are challenging and trying times, Lord, and just like the 12 disciples, Lord, people are going to try to persecute us. They're going to try to comfort us. They're going to try to break our spirit and tell us you don't exist, Lord, to tell us that our faith is dumb and stupid and we're wasting our time, Lord, but just help us to understand that they're absolutely wrong, Lord. In this trying time, Lord, help us to be strong and brave and not fearful of those things that may do harm to our physical body, Lord, but understand that there's a higher place for our souls to dwell, Lord, at the end of this journey that this physical body has, Lord. And our walk with you, Lord, and our relationship with you is the key to achieving that and keys to that eternal life, Lord. I just pray that each and every one of these people in this room, Lord, understand that we have beautiful souls and to let us all go out into the world so that they may see our light shining, Lord, no matter what it is, no matter how big of a trying time we may go on through, Lord, let them see our light. Let them see your light shining through us, Lord, so they may be drawn closer to you as well, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I think just having a three-part sermon, a talk like this, it was interesting because it's interesting because I didn't know what Bjorn, I knew the topic, but I didn't know what Bjorn was going to do yesterday. I don't know what Will's going to do tomorrow. I was too busy praying and asking God what I should be doing tonight, but I just hope you guys are really connecting, really finding that, because we're trying to connect with you. We're trying to make those connections with you so that, you know, you see and know God through your parents, but we want you to also see and know God through us and through our trying times, because we're not perfect. We deal with things. We deal with things, and I was actually reading in preparation for this that, you know, a lot of times, our road to heaven is paved with things that we have to overcome. It's paved with those things. You know, you're going to have to see and understand and go through things to get to where you need to be. You know, I hated losing my nephew, but without that happening, I'm not here in Copper Hill, Tennessee, talking to you guys about this. It doesn't happen without that. So just be strong, man. I mean, there's so much stuff that I've been through from your age to this age now. And if you don't hear anything else from me, just be strong and just know there's a purpose at the end of it. There is a reason for it all. And you may not know it when it's happening, but there is a reason. And the key to that, what I learned, the key to that is just learning to manage your emotions, which, I mean, all of it ties into your soul. It ties into your being. It ties into you. It's managing that. Rebecca got upset, walked away, came back not even a minute later. She was fine. Rebecca could have gotten upset and ruined the rest of this trip for herself and everybody else by pouting and being upset, but she managed her emotions in that trying time and realized this is nothing that's going to defeat what I'm here for. This is nothing that's going to get me off track. And it's just, when you get to that point, it's a beautiful thing. I'm still working, but I am working. You know, that June 7th thing was meant to destroy me, but it didn't. It didn't. Because the more I learn about Christ, the closer I get with him, the more I know myself, which is also more me getting in touch with me as a soul and knowing those things that can trip me up, knowing those things that can get my mind, my thoughts, my emotions off balance, knowing those things. And as I work hard to get to that point, you know, it's my prayer that, you know, you guys see the growth in me. And we continue to grow together.